In 2008, you guys were here with a group of musicians from Ireland. I think it's February 2018, excuse me. Yes, and I know that you did a live recording, and you have that with you. You know the song we do occasionally, God is So Good, He's Not a Cage Lion. We were introduced to that song on that night that your team came, and we've been singing it ever since. And I think you guys were here right before the shutdown in COVID in 2020. So welcome back. Would you join me in welcoming this lovely couple? Yes.
Well, good evening, everyone. My goodness, what an honor it is to be back and to be back in the new building. I remember the last time we were here, we were looking at the plans for this. And then to come back just straight after the first time you're allowed in, basically, to America and discover you're in the new building. As you were worshiping tonight, Mickey, I really felt the joy of the Lord over you. I felt there's so much strength on the inside of you in this past season. You've had to rise up beyond what you even thought you could rise up over. And the Lord says He is so pleased with you. And I've seen you wearing orange Wellington boots. That's a wee bit different, like a wee bit different, but it's really cool because the orange represents the fire. And you were walking over the fields of harvest. And the Holy Ghost said she's going to walk and she's going to see. I actually could see people all around, lined up all around this building waiting to come in because they were coming into the fire. But they were lined up, the broken, the hurting, the ones in despair. They were all lined up because you had walked the fields of harvest over this area and you had prayed and you'd sowed. You've done an awful lot of stuff that no one knows about except Him. And you've seen a lot of things that only you and Him know about. And you're going to see in this next season the fullness of what you've prayed for, what you've really cried out for in the quiet place. The Lord says this is your season because the joy of the Lord has been your strength. You chose joy when you could have chosen other stuff. But you chose joy. And because of that, the strength is, I can see a strength in you that I didn't even see the last time. And then when you got on your knees, the Lord just showed me that picture of you walking with those orange Wellington boots. Now you need to go Google them. Somebody in here needs to buy them. Okay, that's an assignment for someone in this room because you need to have them. And you know what? You're going to be different. You're going to be weird and everything else. Everybody say, there's a weird one wearing orange Wellington boots. But you know what? It's okay to be weird because I think you have a wee bit of the DNA of the Irish or Scots or something on the inside of you. And we are a wee bit weird. So it's okay. Well, there you go. See, it's in the DNA. That orange is there. So walk with the fire because you carry it. You're a fire carrier. But anyway, back to thanking you for having us here tonight. We're blessed to be here. We have been in St. Louis. We have been in Dallas. We have been in Shreveport. We've been in Tulsa. We've been back to Dallas. We've been in Atlanta. And now we're here. We're going to Daphne, Alabama. We're coming back up to Chattanooga. And then we're going back to Oxford, Alabama. And then we're going back to Atlanta. And then we're going home. Anybody tired yet? I'm telling my wee body coming down that car today. I was saying, I'm claiming strength. Infuse me, Lord, with inner strength. Do you know what? He's a good God, and we are blessed. Because I had to wait 2 years and 9 months to get here. That was terrible. I mean, COVID was not fun for any of us, but to have to not be able to travel, that was torture. Because this is part of our family here, and so many of you, you know, you're right, so many of you have come to our land. And I actually think, and I really don't know if this is prophetic or not, but I do feel it's time for you to bring people to the land again, once again. Set your foot on the land. Walk. If you've got any DNA in you, I can tell you when you hit that land, it comes alive on the inside of you. So it's time for you two at least to come. But other people could come with you maybe. Just saying. Just saying. Just saying. But I'm really honored that we're here. And I can see the young ones. And to see you here still serving the Lord, still going on strong with God, blesses the heart, you know, to see them playing and singing and all the rest of it. It's a joy to my heart tonight to see you all and have your own little ones. And my goodness, I remember you when you came, you're all wild. You were all wild. Now you're very sensible with children. I don't believe you're sensible at all. And I never want you to be sensible. Never become sensible. Don't become all that nonsense everybody wants you to be. Just be yourself. God loves you the way you are. Well, our church in Belfast sends its love and greetings because they know we're here tonight and they've been praying for this meeting. What great worship that was. That one line got me, laid down the crown for me. That song was beautiful. I've never heard that song before, but it was such a beautiful song. Well, how great a king. You know, we have such a great king who loves us with such an unconditional love. I'm a sister in the middle here. The Lord says to you, you've walked through a season of of pain and difficulty. And the Lord says to you, you have pushed through, pushed past and pushed beyond what you even thought you could go through. God says you're in a season where he's putting what I see fertilizer around your feet where you're going to grow. You're just going to grow up and into him, into the fullness of your destiny, because at times you ran away from your destiny, you ran away from who he really wanted you to be. And the Lord says tonight is the night where you're going to step into the fullness of what he's called you to be, because he has much for you to do, much for you to do, because you're a joy carrier too. Anyway, back here, lay down, crown. And obviously our queen has died. Kevin's probably going to touch a little bit on that. But you know, when that song said that, I don't know if any of you watched the funeral of the queen, but whenever her crown and her scepter and her orb was set on the altar, that just broke me, because she laid it all down for her king and went as a simple servant to glory. And I just love that, you know, when you see what he did for us and how she was able to do that. And she loved him. Don't anybody tell you our queen did not love the Lord. Our queen loved the Lord. She planned every part of that funeral. The gospel was preached the whole way through it. And many, 4 billion, I believe, were watching it. So 4 billion people got to hear the gospel that day. Amen. Well, on the way, on the plane over here, that's how God speaks to me at times when I get on an aircraft. God spoke to me. I think it's the only time that I'm actually still, maybe, except when I'm sleeping. But he gave me a word for the year ahead, and Happy New Year, by the way, to all of you. But I just want to share it, and then Kevin's going to come and continue on. This is what the Lord said to me about the year ahead, and I personally am taking it and I'm dissecting it, but this is what he said, and I believe it's a word for the body of Christ. I am crowning this year with wisdom. My sons need my wisdom to choose well. Choose your alignments, your community, your friends, your business partners, just because, and I said this, just because you've always done it that way doesn't mean it's my way today. Sometimes we get in this little rut. Well, they're my friends, and that's what it did, and I, how could I ever? The Lord said, take a note of that. Listen to my voice, he said, and choose well. If you listen, you will hear the rhythm of my heartbeat in order to move. So stay in time. Even if it's the faintest whisper, you can still hear from me. I have been marking my people in the past 2 years, marking them as pure or as unholy, authentic or as counterfeit. And I think we've all seen that. My name on each one. And by this stage, it should be visible. So look again and see with the eyes of discernment. Check the heart motivation. Who's who? And then he said this, as you're about to find out. We need to listen in these days what the Lord is saying and who we are to keep company with, who we're to align with, who we're to go to where we go with. It's no longer days of compromising in faith, but days of a movable faith, unswerving, relentless pursuit of my kingdom. Knowing you belong to me and walking as my sons, using your authority in my kingdom. I have written restitution throughout the year. Times where you will see things returned to their original intent, how they should have been. And then I love this. You will see the could have beens corrected. There's a few could have beens that need corrected in your life. You will see times where I will release the angelic to pay back what is rightfully yours. Miracles only maybe you know about. People in this house have lost some stuff. You haven't said too much about it, and all of a sudden an angelic host is going to come and bring that back to you. It's going to be a suddenly. People who have wronged you. I'm sure there's no one in Florence that has wronged anybody in this house, but hey, some in Belfast have wronged me, and I've wronged them probably. People who have wronged you will come to you this year and apologize for what they have done. It will be a suddenly. They will see that you have been marked by me for blessing and not judgment. Too quick to judge in the body of Christ. So use wisdom and continue to walk in my ways, allowing me to mold your character. My spotlight will be shining more on character this year. My church has focused so much on the gifts that they have been elevated to a level above character, and that is not my ways. That's such a great, I mean, for me, that's like, yes, Lord, because, I mean, the gift will take you where your character cannot keep you. Character is a key, and a good character is a must to use your gifts correctly. No selfish ambition in sight. I will have pure vessels worthy of honor, so I'm cleaning up and clearing out those things in your life that are not me. You will not walk in the fullness of authority unless you seek my holiness. Many have experienced great loss, but I declare this will be a year of recovery, both materially and spiritually, for my rivers will be flowing in and through, bringing life and bringing healing. In the year ahead, there will be great turmoil and heartache. I'm sorry about that line, people, but it's true. In the world. But do not despair, because you have been marked by me, and you can hold your head high and walk in wisdom and in provision. You will see unity in communities. That's why I love what you're doing on Saturday. Unities in families and unity in my body. Unity to cover and to bring provision. They will come together and the world will watch. I love this. The world will watch in awe of how my body will provide for the hurting. Provision will come to you and to work out through you. So don't hold on to it. Share it and more will come. Don't operate in the fear of lack. I have more than enough for you. I don't know about the televisions here, but the televisions at home is telling us, oh my goodness, it's going to be so bad this winter. You're going to freeze. Every one of you is going to freeze because you can't afford your heating. Every one of you is going to have a terrible time because you can't go out the door because it's just so cold. You maybe won't even have money to buy a coat. You know, the last time I was here, I got 7 coats, by the way. Seriously, 7 coats were given to me when I was here. It was all about mantling. This time, I've had 4 pairs of shoes. What can I say? Come up higher, the Lord says, and stand on my holy hill. Be uncompromising and immovable. Take your place and know me. Businesses you thought were dying in your community will begin to flourish again. This will be evidence of my hand at work. Watch for those signs. So there's probably businesses here you think, oh, well, maybe they're going to go down under. They're not going to go down under because people like you will be praying for them, and all of a sudden you'll see the flourish, and then that's when you see the harvest come in. And then he said this, I'm holding back the tide from Russia. I'm working behind the scenes. Men turn on my command. Some nations will be judged this year and consequences delivered to those leaders who have looked away instead of making a stand, to those who enabled and empowered wrong choices. Corruption will float to the top for all eyes to see. Social media will be alive with the truth and you will be shocked. I have said enough, says the Lord. You know, and we all know that there's leaders, probably even in your nation, I don't know an awful lot about your nation, but I know about mine, that have gone this way. When something was being said, they've went, oh, okay. When really they should have been going, no. So this is a year where you're going to see those people, unfortunately, who have made that wrong choice, have the consequences served, of course, unless there's repentance. I speak the word stable over you, one who is not likely to give way or overturn, one who is firmly fixed in place, one who will not collapse under the pressure. Then he said this, you will hear the sound of a structure falling, one who no one thought ever would. Shock waves around the world will be felt. The Lord says there's a pressure coming that many will not be able to stand up under, but I have a stable people, hallelujah, ones who are uncompromising in their faith, strong and tenacious and ready to run to the battle. Have we any warriors in the house? Well, there's certainly a few there, but I would say at home if I ask that question, I'm going to get a yes! We have to use our voice in this season. We have to declare that we're ready to run to the battle because if the enemy hears our yes, we need to say it loud. We need to let him know we're in the room. Every morning when you get up, he should say, oh no, she's awake. He's awake. You will be stable. There will be a stabilizing in your life. Those emotions of the past year brought on by fear will cease as you look to me. No more highs and lows, no more ups and downs, an establishing of who you are in me. So no matter what the world is going through, remember, you're not of this world. We are not of this world. I have that on my door, my office door. I am not of this world. That reminds me every time I go in. I'm not of this world. They can say what they like, but I'm not. That's not who I am. I belong to the kingdom. Wisdom and restitution and recovery are yours. You will no longer blend in out of the fear of being attacked. Your chameleon coat cast off, and now you will stand wearing my coat of favor. You can walk through any storm being a transparent vessel, one who is pure, holy, uncompromising, and full of compassion. And this house is full of compassion. You are mine, and you are strong, so don't doubt it when the pressure comes. You're strong and stable in me. So stay steady when the fight comes, because the fight's coming. You are able. You will have more than enough. You'll be filled up to overflowing to the blessing of many. Use your voice to speak life, to release blessing. Your storehouses are now ready for the increase, so watch me move on your behalf. At times will come from the most unexpected places, but your barns will be filled, says the Lord, with bountiful blessings. That's not even a word I use. Bountiful is not a word the Irish people really use. But I am telling you what, your barns in this next season, when you stay close to the Lord, will be filled with bountiful blessings that the world will go, what's going on there? How come they? Seriously, they've got that. You're going to overwhelm them because the goodness of God is going to so rain down. I'm sure they're already talking about this house. This is amazing. God has done a great thing here. And I would say people, the world I mean, are going, wow, look at that place. Wow, great house. Oh my goodness. They met in that other place. Look at them now. Look at the size of that. Look at the grounds. They're already talking because the harvest is coming in because you walked and prayed with a fire on your feet and you're going to see it happen. I seen them literally lined up when I was worshiping. They're lined up right round this whole house to get in through these doors. They're coming, so be ready. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Eddie and Mickey, I just hear the Lord saying, faithful, faithful, faithful. And as I was seeking the Lord before the meeting today for your house, a word for your house, I was directed to Psalm 18, and it's verses 33 to 36, 7. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up. Thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again until they were consumed. And what I felt for this house, Grace House, was four things: speed, agility, perspective, and sight. All of those mobilizing together at a time such as this. Well, thank you so very, very much for allowing us the privilege of coming to be with you tonight. And I want to also thank the Nesbitts, James, Colleen, and Isaac for being such great hosts. Fed us well, but they made sure that we weren't sleepy as we came. And Pastor Doc and June, it's great to see you guys and some other family members. We are so privileged to see you again. And Natalie, I know Braxton isn't here, for the reason that his mother is dangerously ill. And I wonder if I could just take the liberty to pray for Braxton's mother. What's her name, Natalie? Janie. Okay. Could we stand? Well, Father, you know that situation. And Lord, we pray that you would surround that situation with your favor as with a shield, that you would send your holy angels to minister. May your spirit overwhelm and overshadow all concerned, and our hearts and thoughts and prayers, we direct them through your throne of grace to that place. And Lord, we thank you that their times, Jane's times, are in your hands, Lord. And so, Father, we know that you have things covered. We pray grace and strength and encouragement and trust at this time in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Since we were last here, I've had the pleasure of completing a book. I'll just mention it very briefly before I release the things that the Lord has on my heart to share with you precious folks tonight. One of the most influential figures in Christian history in the early medieval period was a leader by the name of Columba, St. Columba, from our part of the world. And when I use the term saint, I use it in the biblical sense, that we're all saints that believe in God. Isn't that right? And so he was foundational. His name means dove. In the Irish tongue, it's Columb Keel, which means dove of the church. But he carried such a core fire that I entitled this book, Dove of Fire. And he was not only an apostolic leader, but an amazingly industrious planter of apostolic hubs. Back then they were referred to as monasteries, but they were much more than that. They were hospitals, they were places of learning, technology, 24/7 prayer and intercession, so much more than just kumbaya and a quiet place. In fact, if you wanted to get a bit of peace and quiet, you had to go outside of the monastery grounds to do that. But we wouldn't be where we are today without him. He is the man who is responsible for the foundation of modern Scotland. He is the man who, more than any other after St. Patrick, is responsible for ushering in a new dawn of the gospel age following the collapse of the Roman Empire and the Dark Ages began to flood in. And so he and his disciples were thoroughly instrumental in bringing the gospel into Europe and beyond. And if you want to know anything at all about what God is doing today, I not only believe in the Twin Peaks of prophecy, I also believe in the Twin Peaks of history. He is your man. It's called Dove of Fire. I don't have time to go into it, but I commend that to you. There's a table out there, and you can get that after the service. Rose had mentioned that not that long ago, we witnessed the passing of Queen Elizabeth II. And as we watched that state funeral and the events preceding it, I began to sense that the Lord was speaking in the earth realm, not just to the United Kingdom. And I know that we are known for our pageantry, our history, and so much more. But I want to encourage you that what we witnessed was not just about Great Britain, the United Kingdom, or even the Commonwealth. It was a sign and a signal about what the Lord is doing in the earth realm, and particularly involving the ecclesia. We are the ecclesia. God's called out assembly, his governing body in the earth realm. And Jesus said, I will build my ecclesia and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And the Great Commission followed. And we saw, we through the history books, witnessed the unprecedented, exponential infusion of the gospel of the kingdom into the earth realm, overturning a pagan empire in such a way that it defied and beggared belief. And unto us was born a son, a child was given, a born a son. And of the increase of his government and peace, there was to be no end. God is moving forward apace in the earth realm in ways that we can only barely imagine, but somehow we have been appointed to be born for such a time as this, and we are being swept along by not only currents of grace, but currents of power, bewildered, enthusiastic, expectant. I mean, the superlatives could go on and on and on, but the fact remains that we have been called and born for such a time as this. And so we need to own it and recognize it, that you and I together, Grace House, along with many other places of worship locally, regionally, are being called together to see the government of God extended in the earth realm in spite of human government. And at grassroots level, I don't believe we will ever see in the pages of history that which is begun and is going to continue until it's completed and the Lord returns. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And the context of Isaiah 60 is darkness in the earth and gross darkness on the people, and yet the glory of the Lord is rising upon us. And Psalm 132, it says, I think it's verse 8, arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. That is a direct reference to the ecclesia. The preceding verses explain that the subject gives his eyes no rest and will not enter into the tabernacle until he has found a place. And Jesus His earthly ministry was about preparing that place, the new temple, made with living stones without hands. And when he had purchased, through his shed blood on the cross, that very temple, the ecclesia, and ascended into heaven, on the day of Pentecost there came the sound of a mighty rushing wind and tongues of fire, and the temple was filled as God breathed into it and filled it with his glory. And it seemed for a time that there was a moment in history that's almost reflective of Israel's seasonal cycle, where you had Passover and Pentecost, those fruitful months, and then the long dry season of summer where nothing much happened, and then looking forward to Tabernacles when the new rainy season came and the final harvest came in. And we look at the church and we see history almost reflecting that. Passover, the purchase of Christ's blood, the church. Pentecost, the infilling of the ecclesia, and then the dark ages. And then God began to reign again with heavenly dew and bless the earth realm and the ecclesia, this body that he had prepared for himself, this temple, and the Holy Spirit began to rush in, and has never ceased, really, since the beginning of the previous century and the way that we have come to understand it. But in exactly the same way as we read in the book of Ezekiel, that the glory of the Lord departed from the temple, by the time you come up into Ezekiel 43, you see that God is now coming into the temple, and his glory is coming into the temple. And then a few verses in, where he sets his feet and his throne is in the midst of his people. In exactly the same way, such an entrance of God through the Holy Spirit is entering into the ecclesia in an unprecedented way. And we can feel it. We can sense it. I often say it's rather like watching those safari programs about Africa after the long, dry drought and when the rainy season has ceased for a while. And then it's always an antelope that begins to twitch its nose as it smells the rains coming, and then the floods come. And there's an outpouring that awaits us. And our friend, Paul Keith Davis, said that he believes that the day of Pentecost was just but a tithe of that which is to come before the end of the age. And so we are swiftly moving into unprecedented times together. And every person that is a part of the ecclesia is vitally important. But none of us are spectators. We are participators and, dare I say it, dictators, because the Lord is mobilizing the mouth of the ecclesia as never before. And so when we watched the scenes concerning Queen Elizabeth's funeral, her departure from this world and her funeral, there were several things that the Lord began to speak. And I was reminded of Isaiah 6. I'll just read the first few verses. In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. And then there's angelic worship. And Isaiah is undone. The word means, I'm a dead man. I perish in your presence. Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. But angelic activity rectifies that. At the request of the Lord, a coal is taken with tongs from the altar and his lips are cauterized. And tradition says that he bore the physical scars of that spiritual encounter for the rest of his days. And he prophesied, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And he said, here am I, send me. And this is the call, a summons. Will we be willing in the day of his power? Those that know their God shall do great exploits. And so we too can recognize that there has been a shift in the earth realm into a new era, a new dimension. And the death of Queen Elizabeth II is but a sign of what he is doing. And this is how I interpreted it. Queen Elizabeth II was on the throne for 70 years. 70 can mean the end of captivity. In Jewish tradition, it means the nations around the world, and I believe both are apt. For the United Kingdom, we have been so bound up with memories of empire, it's a neutral statement, it's just a fact, The British Empire began under Elizabeth I and ended under Queen Elizabeth II. And so for us, it is the end of captivity to the nostalgia of something that no longer exists. We are free. And by the way, Charles means freedom. And so we are free to pursue a new identity. And so it is with the body of Christ. We are free to pursue our true identity, being unfettered from even past moves of the Holy Spirit and trying to conform to previous patterns, free to move into new territory. And 70 represents the nations, and God is shaking the nations now as never before, and the tectonic plates of geopolitical power are shifting in the earth realm, and God says it's all according to my plan, and my ecclesia is going to govern in such a way that they will decree my purposes and plans, and I will answer swiftly in these days. And every man, woman, and child that owns my name shall step up to the plate and prophesy and declare corporately and individually. On the day that Queen Elizabeth II died, the heavens opened in such a beautiful, glorious way, and double rainbows appeared over royal palaces. We are kings and priests, or a kingdom of priests, depending on which translation. And God said to me that there will be such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit from this moment forward that we're moving into, that God's covenant, signified by the rainbow, of blessing upon his people is there for the pursuing, taking, and moving into. The Queen lay in state for many days in a place called Westminster Hall, which is part of the Houses of Parliament in London. It is the place of government. It is a seat of government. And Westminster Hall is the most ancient part. Its history goes back almost 1,000 years. And there she lay in state. And from there, the procession on the day of her funeral formed a marching party and escort, as the royal gun carriage carried the casket from Westminster Hall to Westminster Abbey. Now, what is the significance of this? Westminster Abbey is the spiritual heart of the United Kingdom. Westminster is the political heart. And God says there is a transition that is taking place in the governments around the world, where a new spirituality is seeking to invade, and it is at the behest of the King of Kings himself. And who was it that was assembled in Westminster Abbey in the United Kingdom? Over 500 heads of state and foreign dignitaries. The world and its governments were assembled in that moment as the casket made its way in. But if you watch the video, or you saw it on the screens, you will notice that the military tune, the Scots Pipers, piped out and drummed out a tune entitled The Mist-Covered Mountains. And so the rain of God's blessing is beginning to fall over structures of power and authority in the earth realm. And the mist of God's glory is there for the ecclesia to press in to see come down in the earth realm as never before. And there were several phases to her funeral, the last of which was at St. George's Chapel in Windsor. And there the casket came in with the pallbearers, and there was a crown, and there was a scepter, and there was an orb with a cross atop it. And the orb is significant in as much as when the monarch is crowned, and that ceremony, it's a religious ceremony, it's a Christian ceremony, that the orb was placed in the monarch's hand, signifying that although they be an earthly monarch, yet doth the world rest under the rulership and the authority of the King of Kings himself. And so these three things, the crown, the scepter, and the orb were on the casket. And before the descent into the grave of Queen Elizabeth, the emblems of monarchy were stripped away from the casket, and she descended into the grave as a simple Christian soul. But where were those emblems of monarchy placed? They were placed upon the altar before God. And the Lord said, now is the time for the ecclesia to recognize that these things, the crown of sovereignty, the scepter of authority, the dominion of the world, are being placed before me. And it is time for the ecclesia to press in their respective regions and nations to see the mist coming down upon the mountains. And the scripture is Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. And many people are saying this, that this is where we are now. Ask for the rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. And so we press in with our voices, our prophesying, our declaration, our intercession. But notice that phrase there, that not only is it rain in the time of the latter rain, but the Lord will make flashing clouds. That refers to angelic activity. That we are entering into an unprecedented time of partnership between the ecclesia and the angels that are there to serve those who are heirs of salvation on kingdom business and kingdom alignment. Because in Ezekiel chapter 1, we find the meaning of the flashing clouds in Zechariah. Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud, verses 4 and 5, with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it, and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. And also within it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of man. And in verse 14, and the living creatures ran back and forth in appearance like a flash of lightning. Not only clouds of rain, but flashes of lightning of angels partnering with the ecclesia in the earth realm. And now verse 12 is so vitally important because it gives us a key to how we position ourselves in this assignment in the earth realm. Ezekiel 1 verse 12 tells us how the angels respond and why they respond. And they respond in this way, and each one went straight forward, and they went wherever the Spirit wanted to go. They did not turn when they went. And so when the infilling of the ecclesia occurred, primarily on Pentecost, the angels were attracted to the ecclesia. And the writer of Hebrews tells us in 1 verse 7, they are ministering winds of fire. They are there to serve those who are heirs of salvation. They partner with the ecclesia in the earth realm. And so when we begin to pray and discern the time of the rain and we press in, angels partner to see the glory and the kingdom of God extended in the earth realm. And so if you ever wondered why Paul says in Ephesians 5 verse 18, be filled with the Spirit, actually the Greek, as you probably know, means go on being filled. A Spirit-filled ecclesia is so attractive to heavenly angels because they know that out of the ecclesia will come Spirit-taught words, words which the Holy Ghost teacheth. And you line that up with Psalm 103 verse 20 that says, the angels, his mighty ones that do his bidding, hearkening to the voice of his word, we give forth that word. Now I'm going to wrap this up very quickly. We are Zion. You might say, well, is it a place? It's, you know, it's a city and all of that. And that would be correct. But it is also, if I can find the right place, I'll give it to you anyway. It's Isaiah 51, verse 16. But I just need to find it. Bear with me. I don't mind waiting. It's worth waiting on. It is in here somewhere, I do promise you. Pray amongst yourselves. we've got the idea of angels. That's it. There we are, coming here. Right, I found it. There we are. Hallelujah. Isaiah 51, verse 16 says this. And I have put words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth. So there's planting and laying of foundations. And say unto Zion, thou art my people. Thou art my people. So we establish that Zion is the ecclesia, at least in one sense. And its purpose is to plant the heavens and lay foundations in the earth. I will build my ecclesia, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We are called to extend the kingdom, but also to plant the heavens through our prayers, prophecies, declarations, intercessions. And Matthew 1:22 tells us very clearly, the way God moves in the earth realm is that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. 700 years before it came to pass, it was planted in the heavens by God's spokesperson, and it came to pass. Isaiah 2 verse 3, thinking about Zion again. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountains of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And so as we ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain, the Lord will make flashing clouds, angels on assignment. Why? Because the Spirit will be speaking through the ecclesia, and the angels go where the Spirit is speaking and moving and where the Spirit wants to go. And so strategically, we are being positioned. And so when we think about it, our job is to have and develop an awareness, have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the ecclesia. We need to position ourselves and be aware, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will show you things to come. He will speak. And so as we develop an awareness, and we position ourselves, and we serve the Lord by sowing into the Spirit. And how do you sow into the Spirit? Isaiah 55, for my word shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish, it shall come mightily, it shall break forth and push forward for the purpose for which it is sent. We sow into the Spirit using words taught us by the Spirit. So the Lord answers his own prayers. And there you will see angelic activity and the extension of the kingdom of God. Let's pray, and I'll hand back to your pastor. Loving Heavenly Father, can we stand? Is that okay? Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are born for such a time as this. We thank you that not many wise, not many noble, not many mighty are called. Yeah, we are the ignoble, the unwise, the foolish. And we are so qualified by you. And so, Father, I pray that according to Isaiah 50, verse 4, that you would give us, each of us and corporately, the tongue of the learned, that we know how to speak a word in season into the earth realm to see the extension of your government, of the increase of your government and peace, there shall be no end. An exponential increase in angelic activity before the conclusion of the last and final great outpouring of the Holy Spirit has done his work. We step into this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so very much. Wasn't that a very encouraging word, the prophetic words that have been shared here tonight? And thank you for helping us understand where we are in time, Pastor Kevin. Such a powerful word. And I would encourage each of you to be praying, and particularly as he's shared here tonight, you know, there may be prayers the Lord is going to stir in your heart of things, promises that you need to be declaring. It may be over your family. It may be over our region. It may be over our state. It may be over our nation. But don't underestimate the power and how God moves in response to getting in alignment with what He is putting in your heart to release. And so that's such a good word that we received tonight. Now, a couple of things before we dismiss here tonight is we want to bless Kevin and Rose for being with us tonight. They've come a long way. And we want to bless them bountifully. And so we encourage you, there's going to be, our ushers will be at the exits, the four exits to this room with a basket. You can put a check in there. You can put cash in there. If you want a text, we can put the text to give on the screen, Sarah, if you will. You can simply send your text and add the word speaker after the amount. When you put the amount in that you're texting, just add the word speaker after that, and we'll know that it's to go to them. But we want to bless them really good for being here tonight, sowing into their ministry. We're sowing into everywhere they're going. We're sowing into what they're doing in Belfast, and good soil. So let's bless them tremendously here tonight. Also, avail yourself to the resources that are on the table out in the commons area, and you can there'll be someone there at the table. You can write a check. If you write a check to that, just make it out to Grace House. We'll make sure that they get it. And if you've got cash, I don't know if we'll have change or not, but just put the biggest bill down you got and get a book. And bless them, or say, I want to buy one for someone else. And let's bless them in that regard, too. And I know that's going to be such a blessing and encouragement to you as well. Now, this weekend, again, Saturday here, 9 to 11, our open house. But I want to ask, I know we have some of our folks. The All in Alabama meeting is in Oxford on Saturday morning as well. Chuck Pierce is going to be there. And some of you are going to be going. Now, I would like for you to come up tonight. We just want to pray over you. It's interesting to me that in 2020, when Rose and Kevin were here, that was just right before we hosted the All in Alabama event. If you'll remember, Dutch was with us on Friday night, and we had a team from Oxford, and we actually had to cancel the Sunday evening service. The shutdown started the next day. I had COVID that Monday, and it just kind of got going, but that's when that started, All in Alabama. But all during the COVID season, that team went to 67 counties, covered our state, and since then they've been having strategic meetings monthly. I know Brother James is really involved in that. He's the representative of our area here apostolically for the All in Alabama meetings. And I know some of you are going to represent Lauderdale County. So we want to just gather around them, lay hands on them, and pray God's blessing over that weekend. A lot of us are going to be here, not there, but we can be there in spirit. Amen. And so also, I want our altar workers, our prayer teams to be available in the altar area. If you're here tonight and God has stirred your heart and you need prayer, then we'll have people in the altar area to pray with you, okay? So they will be here on either side of the platform to pray with you. Amen. So if y'all would just bunch up right here, and some of you come and gather around them, and just as a sign of unity. And Father, we thank you tonight for what you are doing. We thank you for this word. Lord, that's been such an encouragement for those of us here at Grace House. But Lord, it's a word beyond here. It's certainly a word of what you're doing in the earth. And we say yes and amen. And Lord, may we be found faithful of cultivating the ground you placed us on, praying the prayers that you energize us to pray. May we be those warriors that Rose prophesied about, Lord, that are rising up and being faithful in this hour. And Lord, as our state comes together this Saturday at Oxford, we just speak blessing over that meeting. We pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that what happens there in the realm of the Spirit, that the days ahead, we would just see the unfolding of the blessings and plans and purposes and strategies of God over our state, the justice state, state of the forerunners. Lord, we're reminded of that vision you gave Chuck back in 2008 of the glory explosion. And he saw that happening here, even over this region. And we say yes and amen to all your stirring up, all your releasing. And Lord, is these a sacrifice to drive and give their Saturday to this meeting? I pray that you would bless them. And Lord, that what they received there, there'd be an impartation. When they cross back into this region, there would just be an impartation that would begin to touch this region with your honor and your glory. And so we ask that your kingdom come, your will be done. Not only do we ask that, Lord, before your presence, but now we face this region as your representatives, and we declare, kingdom of God come, and will of God be done in this region. Across this state, Lord, that the purposes that have been prophesied, Lord, everything that's been spoken in days gone by, we say yes and amen. Yes and amen for our place in this season, in this time in history, Lord, for the unfolding of your purposes. Now stretch your hands toward Kevin and Rose. Lord, we just pray that you'd bless them. This team, if you all would just gather around them. Lord, we thank you for these, your servants, that have come from Ireland to be with us tonight. Lord, we feel that kindredness with them. And Lord, we thank you for what they have released here. And we pray that your blessing be strong upon them. Lord, when they lay their heads on the pillows tonight, may their bodies be strengthened with good sleep. I declare Proverbs 3 over you, that your sleep shall be sweet. And Lord, as they travel to the next stop down the way, I pray that they would have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying when they're on that ground, in that place. And Lord, that you would use them as a channel of your blessing everywhere they go on this tour they are on. And Lord, that you would send them back home full of blessing to disperse across Ireland, to impart to their own congregation. So we thank you, Lord, for this gathering tonight. We thank you for having spoken to us. And we thank you for these, your servants. Now, church, repeat this. In the name of Jesus, we bless you, our brother Kevin. We bless you, our sister Rose. May it go well with you. May God's Spirit be strong upon you. May His abundant grace fill you to overflowing. We bless you, brother, and we bless you, sister, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's give the Lord a hand. Amen, amen, amen. And again, let's bless them. This altar is open. If you need prayer, please come. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.